Coming off that good first hour, welcome back. Or good morning, good afternoon. I am Jim Rome. Welcome to the program. It's brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Good first hour because we talked at length about the Dodgers showing up big in game one and starting off the World Series with a great vintage Clayton Kershaw performance. A lot of you haters could not wait to kill this guy, especially when he was shaky in that first inning. But he works out, settles in, settles down, mows the Rays. Dodgers get out early and they win. So they're up 1-0. Game two tonight. Also in hour number one, I thought we had a great conversation with DeMar DeRozan. Always good to get caught up with him. Coming up next segment, wide receiver Amari Rodgers from Clemson. At 40 past, the beef segment. What's your beef? We do it once a week. It's on Wednesdays. Hit me up on the phones with your beef. I'll have that for you later on this hour. 1-800-636-8686. You can also tweet me your beefs. At the end of hour number one, I was talking about the Dallas Cowboys. And it was off that story yesterday. Jane Slater had that amazing tweet about some anonymous Cowboys and how initially they were going to keep their discontent in-house. But it got so bad that it just started to leak. And you've got anonymous players, a couple anyway, saying that the coaching staff is not good at any of the things that matter most. Quote, they're totally unprepared. When it comes to teaching, quote, they don't teach. I mean, that's fine, right? But even if you're not good at that, you could probably make up for it in other ways, right? You can make up for a lot of that if you're really good at in-game adjustments. Except this player anonymously said, quote, they don't have any sense of adjusting on the fly. Now, notice that last part. Not that they're not great at adjusting on the fly. Not that, you know, they could probably improve in that area. No, quote, they don't have any sense of adjusting on the fly, end quote. Like, they don't even know what the concept means. This whole notion of adjusting on the fly is completely foreign to them. Like, they devise a game plan that almost assuredly is not going to work, as evidenced by their record and how crappy they are when they take the field. But the plan is the plan, and we're not deviating from that plan, no matter how badly we're getting our asses kicked. Like, this is our system, and we're running it, man, come hell or high water. I don't give a damn what the scoreboard says. We're not changing jack for you or for anybody else. We're not adjusting. I mean, that is awesome. And you know, if two guys are saying this stuff anonymously, that there are a lot more in that same locker room that believe it. You have to know that these guys are looking around at each other in the locker room like, man, are you seeing this stuff? Do you believe this stuff? Man, these dudes have no idea what they're doing. No idea what the hell they're doing. Who are these dudes? Did they just take a bunch of randos off the street and give them keys to our facility? They don't know a damn thing about football. And the thing is, if they think that, they're right. That team is a complete and utter tire fire. They're giving up points at a record pace. Their offense, which was supposed to have this great identity, has none at all. And McCarthy does not seem to be bringing anything at all to the table. And the truly hilarious thing is, it's all ripping apart already, and they're in first place. Like, if they believed in the coaches, they would pull together and realize that everything is still right there for them. Everything is still in front of them. They can still win that division. That if they believed in the coaches, they'd probably be the team to beat in that division. But six games in, guys are already burying McCarthy. Six games in, they're telling reporters, this guy sucks, and they have no idea what they're doing. And it's pretty awesome. In fact, it's the best. It used to be that guys gave a head coach the benefit of the doubt for a while. But not these guys, and not this head coach. They're jumping ship in the middle of October when they're in first place. Like, Jerry's guy's not getting it done. I mean, what an incredible head coaching search by Jera. Jera, the head coach search firm, is about as good as Jera, the general manager. And Jera, the general manager, is about as good as Mike McCarthy, the head coach. And I thought McCarthy was supposed to be the pro. McCarthy was the guy who had been in Green Bay for more than a decade. McCarthy was the guy who won a Super Bowl. Never mind those reports that he used to miss Packer team meetings to go get a massage in his office. Professor, no. Forget that for a minute. This was the guy coming to Dallas, the pro, the professional, the adult in the room. I mean, after all, he and that crew had hunkered down in that barn or that bunker or whatever the hell that was, breaking tape and approaching it like they were already an NFL coaching staff. When you see how they're showing up right now and the fact that the team is already turning on them six games in, I've got to ask the question, like, exactly what the hell were they doing in that barn? Were they doing any work at all, or were they running a fantasy league? Were they watching games the way you or I would? Or were they just tipping and milking the cows? And like, if you're looking to McCarthy for answers right now, you're probably not getting them, because he did not have much to say in yesterday's media conference call.
I think, like a lot of things, when you hit a part of your season or any challenge where there is negativity out there, you know, where it comes from and who it comes from. I mean, that's something that, you know, I've never chased, but I think you do have to recognize it. And I just really go back to my first meeting with the football team. I've always stated this. I think it's important to handle things as men. I mean, if you do have something to say publicly that is of, you know, of most importance, I think it's important to say it to the individual, particularly in a group dynamic setting, and especially in the game of football, especially for the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, that's all part of the development of our program, of the system that we're installing here. So I think that's just part of our flight right now. We don't like the way we played last night. You know, we had some areas that we started strong in, but you know, it's definitely not what we're looking for.
Thanks for that, Mike. That should really settle everybody down. If people are thinking that you and your crew were not up to the job, I'm sure that word salad addressed it. This guy said, I made it very clear, you know, we need to handle this like men. We need to handle it like men on this football team and keep it in-house. So what happens? They immediately go outside the house. And that tells you how little they think of the coach, how little they respect the coach. They did exactly the opposite of what he told them to do. He questioned their manhood, too, and it didn't matter. Be men. Handle it like men. This is a game played by men. So be a man. Hey, you got that reporter's number? I got a few things I want to get off my chest. Yeah, hey, it's the reporter here. What's going on? Hey, man, you got a minute? Something I want to tell you. Sure, I got all the time in the world for you. What do you got? Yeah, the coaching staff, they suck at their job. And they can't make adjustments. And they can't teach. Anything else? No, that's pretty much it. I mean, with Jason Garrett, you could at least count on two things. A lot of clapping and a lot of 8-8 seasons. Cowboy fans, I'm guessing right now, would kill for either one of those things right now. Because according to at least two players, Jerry's new coach can't coach, and he can't teach, and he can't adjust, or really do anything at all to help them be better players and help the team win. And after seeing that garbage on Monday night, how is Dak's deal not done yet? Let me put it to you another way, Jer. Let me put it to you a way, Jer, that you could best understand. Picture, I don't know, picture your defense, and your defense is driving a car. And that car gets into a wreck. And then everybody on defense has their hands cut off. And they're lying in a gutter. And they're spurting out blood. And they have no hands. So they're giving up touchdowns and first downs. And McCarthy doesn't know anything about anatomy. And he's telling everybody to get up out of the gutter and run towards the woods. And panic and scream. And the rest of the coaches are totally unprepared. So y'all are just bleeding out while waiting for help.
Picture if you were a driver of a car and you had a wreck and your hand was almost severed off, but you didn't understand your anatomy. You look down, you're spurting blood, you open the door and run to the woods and either die bleeding to death or shot. The educated man looks down, knows his anatomy, squeezes and knows his best chance is to wait for help. That's because he's been there a lot and done that. And so I'm waiting. I'm squeezing and waiting for help.
Meantime, the entire defense is on its back. Kyler Murray gets to the sideline. He's gone. And every member of that Cowboy defense is lying, bleeding out with no hands because of that horrible car wreck. And they're blasting the hoop. That's your Dallas Cowboys.
I think it's important to handle things as men.
You had all that time off, Mike. You spent all that time in that bunker getting ready for this. And six games in, it's all hit the fan already. And all Cowboy fan can say is, man, I'd give anything to have Jason Garrett back. I'd have give anything to have that ginger back on the sideline, clapping it up, leading us to a 500 record. And again, my favorite part of this whole thing is they're in first. 1-800-636-8686. Cowboy fans, where are you? After everything you've endured in recent years, I've got to get your thoughts on this. What do you make of this? What do you think of this? And Phoenix Tree Rat tweets, hey, Jim, perhaps Jera should quit circumcising mosquitoes and get a coaching staff with a common sense.
Circumcising the mosquito.
Circumcising a mosquito.
Circumcising the mosquito.
He thought he had his guy. Carl and Prescott tweets,
handle things as men.
I save all my adjustments on the fly for Zoom calls. Sign the tubes. All right, that's the end of that thread. We're not talking about the tubes. Stop sending it. Cowboy fans like, Jera, please bring back Dave Campo. Please bring back Dave Campo. Dave Campo is Tom Landry compared to McCarthy. Bring him back, man. It's an amazing statement. Six games in. This is why the Browns were America's team, right? We're talking some college ball, too. Clemson looking really good so far. How about the Big Ten getting underway this weekend? Wisconsin with a Friday night game. Good to see them getting after it. That conference will be back in action. Looking ahead to hour number three, we'll talk some golf, too, at PGA Tour Pro and winner of the CJ Cup. Jason Kokrak will be my guest. Make sure you get your beefs lined up. The beef segment is coming up at 40 past this hour. So call me with a beef or tweet me a beef. Man, it's a busy Wednesday. One more thing I've got to get done today that I'm really looking forward to. The Jim Rome Podcast. We are up to episode 148. Former NFLer Will Blackman is my guest. He has never been on the pod. So that's our long form side hustle. It's free. It's premium content. If you're already subscribed, it's going to find you. If not, subscribe once, and then you will never look for it ever again. Will Blackman will be joining us. We're going to talk football. We'll talk wine. He is the wine MVP. And also, I've got your voicemail messages. Alvin was telling me it's not too late. We can still get in a voicemail or two for this episode of the podcast. Call this number, 949-385-0447. 949-385-0447. Haunted Horse wants in. He tweets, I make adjustments all the time on the fly. Signed, Jerry Jones's plastic surgeon. See, that's one thing I don't have an issue with. If you don't like the way you look and you have the resources to change the way you look, why not?
What do you mean?
Right. I got your back on that one, Jera. If you want somebody to take a spoon or a fork or a butter knife to your face and you think that'll make you feel better and look better, why not? At SA Sports Honk tweets, Rome, I'm like the Cowboys coaching staff. I don't teach either. Sincerely, Eric Silkinson.
Brah.
Narc brah.
Brah.
Narc.
Brah.
Eric.
Brah.
Silk.
Brah.
Substitute teacher.
Brah.
Gravy trainer.
Brah.
Living off the wife.
Brah.
Narc.
Brah.
Eric.
Brah.
Silk.
Brah. Brah.
The election's coming.
Brah.
He's running for the Huntington Beach City Council seat.
Brah.
Brah. Have you voted yet? I have. How about you? All right, when we come back, we'll talk some Clemson football. Wide receiver Amari Rodgers will be joining us. That's coming up next. Then your beefs. You want to get in on all the football action with DraftKings. DraftKings is awesome. The leader in one-day fantasy sports. To add to this week's excitement, DraftKings has a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes that are up for grabs. Draft your lineup. Feel the sweat like never before. Every run, every pass, and every catch means more with DraftKings. It's so easy. You pick your lineup, you stay under the salary cap, and then you see how your team stacks up against the competition. Nothing adds to the excitement of watching the game quite like having a shot at millions of bucks in prizes. And for everybody who is looking forward to this weekend's UFC 254 card, be sure to check out DraftKings MMA contests. Download the DraftKings app, use the code ROME, and for a limited time only, new users can get a free shot at millions of bucks in prizes this week. But you have to use the code ROME. DraftKings, make it rain, codename ROME, to get a free shot at millions of bucks in prizes. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. Right back at it. We are joined right now by wide receiver for the national champs, Clemson. He was an honorable mention All-ACC-er at both wide receiver and all-purpose slots last season. Coming off a huge game in Saturday's win over Georgia Tech, he had 6 receptions, 161 yards, a couple of TDs, the ACC receiver of the week, 25 receptions for 429 yards and 5 touchdowns on the season. Clemson is undefeated. They're 5-0. They're number one in both polls, and they're hosting Syracuse on Saturday at noon Eastern time. Amari Rogers is my guest. Amari, it's great to have you on. How are you?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, good. Good to have you. Hey, listen, I know that at this point of the week, you're already looking ahead to Syracuse, but if you could take me back to the Georgia Tech game for one moment. In the first quarter, you went to wide receivers coach Todd Grisham. You told him that if the offense ran a certain play, you'd be open. They called the play. You were open. Trevor Lawrence connects, and it's an 83-yard touchdown. What did you see that let you think that you would be open, and then how good did it feel to execute and back that up?
Oh, yeah, for sure. The night before, just watching film, just seeing how they played the certain formation that we ran the play out of. You know, I saw the look, and then we ran that formation earlier in the first quarter, and they gave the same look that I saw on film. So I just went to the sideline and gave it and told Coach that, you know, the look's going to be there if we run it. And, you know, lucky enough, you know, we ran it, and it was the same as that look they showed earlier in the game. So, you know, we hit, you know, and it was all there. It was all up from there.
Amari Rogers, my guess. The thing about that is it was the team's longest TD of the season, reception-wise. But as Lawrence had said earlier in the year, if you've got a half step on a guy, you're open. How would you describe the chemistry that you have with Trevor on the field?
It's really good. You know, I feel like it started to take off during quarantine when we had to stay in Clemson and work out and stuff like that. We made sure to throw 2 to 3 times a week, just building that chemistry so that when we started camp, you know, there's no fall off from when we left off in spring. So we did a good job as a whole with the receivers, you know, meeting up with him and the quarterbacks, just building that chemistry and keeping things straight so that when we started back, you know, there was no fall off and we're back normal like when we left off. So, you know, we just emphasized that in practice. You know, when we mess up something in practice, if we don't catch a certain route, you know, we're working on it after practice too until we get it right. So, you know, he just does a great job of making sure that we treat every rep in practice like a game rep. And, you know, if we mess something up, we get it right so that we can have that in our mind that it works. Because, you know, if it works in practice, it's going to work in the game.
We're talking to Amari Rogers. I'm going to pick up that thought in just 1 minute because I think that when the coaches talk about you, they talk about that very thing, the way you approach it, your process, how hard you go. You know, you also bring a rare level of versatility to the game because you can play the slot, you can play on the outside, you can be the jet sweep guy, you can high point the ball. You're always working on your game and looking for ways to improve. Does it feel like you're in a spot right now where you can do just about anything on the field?
For sure. I definitely am confident that I can do anything in the field to get the ball in the hands and help my team win. You know, I'm willing to do anything. And, you know, just working in the offseason, that's really what I was preparing for, to be able to do anything to help the team. Because I knew coming to my senior year that, you know, I have an extra load on me that, you know, I haven't had before. So, you know, I just went ahead and prepared for that mentally and physically so that when the time came, you know, I was ready. So, yeah, I definitely feel like I have the confidence right now to be able to do anything to help the team win.
All right, so where does that come from? For instance, offensive coordinator Tony Elliott said, quote, "I think it boils down to the way he conducts himself in the meeting room, the way he prepares, the way he takes care of his body off the field. He's always the last receiver on the field at the end of practice." So where does the attitude and the work ethic come from?
Just studying all the other players that, you know, that's been there and, you know, that's been at the highest level of the game. And, you know, just looking at interviews and stuff on YouTube, you know, I do that. You know, I study the best people, you know, in interviews. I look at what they say certain questions. You know, I watch their practice tape. I see how they approach practice. And, you know, I do everything like that. I just study the best, you know, the best of the best. You know, they approach it with a pro mentality. And, you know, they approach it like nobody else does. So, you know, that's how I come out every single day. You know, I know that it's other people around the world, you know, working for the same goals that I want. So, you know, I don't want anybody to outrope me because, you know, I want to achieve those goals and more. So, you know, that's my mindset every single day when I hit the field, that, you know, I'm going to get 1% better every single day. And hopefully that's good enough at the end of it all.
It's great. We're talking to Amari Rodgers. I think that also extends to the past summer when you were working out at your high school, Knoxville Catholic. Your high school coach there would point out to the current players that you're working harder than ever, even though you've had success. Like, what were those workouts like in the summer?
You know, they were tough. They were probably the toughest workouts that I've done on my own, especially, you know, just making sure I emphasize staying in shape. So just doing a lot of things that I haven't done to make me uncomfortable. So that when I got in the situations that I am now, you know, that I am comfortable and I'm ready to play, you know, I'm ready to make those plays for my team. So, you know, just a lot of stadium step runs, you know, just a lot of sprints and stuff. I worked on my speed a lot this offseason, just improving it because, you know, I want to tap into that another level. So just doing a lot of speed work, you know, flexibility, you know, balance work and stuff like that. Just working on everything because, you know, anything that you do, you know, it can improve your game. You never know what it can do. So just trying a lot of new things as well.
Clemson wide receiver Amari Rodgers, my guest. You know, from the outside, it seems like that work ethic is a huge part of who you are and why you are where you are. As an example, if we go back to March 2019, following your sophomore season, you tore your ACL. It's the kind of injury that can crush somebody both mentally and physically. And when it happens in the spring before a season, it's even worse. What was your mindset like at that point?
My mindset when it happened, you know, of course, at first you're crushed. You know, before that, you know, you still put in the work to play, you know, do well. So I was crushed at first, but, you know, you also have to put that aside and, you know, just realize and look ahead at what could have happened. So, you know, whenever I found out when my surgery was, you know, I set a goal for, you know, when I could possibly come back. Because, you know, originally when I got hurt, I set my goal to for sure be back for the Syracuse game because the year before that I had played a bad game versus them and I wanted to make up for it, which I did. So, you know, that was my goal initially coming back. So, you know, no matter what, I wanted to be back for the Syracuse game, which was the third game of the season. So that was in the back of my mind the whole way, just grinding through. You know, I feel like that pushed me through because, you know, I knew that I wanted to be back early on in the season. And, you know, it just kept going and kept going as I got further along. You know, I knew that I was further than a normal person with a torn ACL recovering was at. So, you know, I just wanted to get back faster, as fast as possible whenever I found that out.
We're talking to Amari Rodgers for a few more moments. And then as part of the rehab process, the story goes, you got a tattoo. And the tattoo reads, "The future belongs to those who believe in their dreams." What did that phrase mean to you? And why was that something that you wanted to make sure that you could see every single day?
Yeah, the future belongs to those who believe in the beauty of their dreams. So, you know, that's just saying that, like, if you believe in your dreams, if you see what you want to accomplish, you know, the future belongs to you because you got to believe before you can do it. And that's really what's in my head, just having that confidence and believing that, you know, I can go out there and do it every single weekend for my teammates and lay it out for the line and execute. So that's really what's in my head, just having a belief that, you know, all the work that I put in throughout the years and even now, that I can go out there and showcase that and, you know, do well.
Hey, Mario, I'm curious that in talking to head coach Dabo Swinney as much as I have over the years, I'm always struck by the fact that despite all the success that he and that program have had, there's still this drive, man, this fire, this hunger to keep competing and be even better than before. A lot of programs have that kind of success. Well, if they did, and they become complacent, but that has never happened to Clemson or Dabo. How do you explain that?
That's just a credit to our coaching staff, man. They do a great job of instilling that mindset of us that, you know, every week is the biggest game of the year. You know, every week we got to approach a game like it's a national championship, like we're playing Alabama or somebody, you know, because you never know. If you don't prepare the right way, that's when you can slip up and, you know, get upset and lose a game. So, you know, they just do a great job of instilling that mindset. You know, you got to prepare like it's the biggest game of the year every single week. And, you know, we do that. You know, every single week we go out there and execute because that's our mindset. You know, we compete and practice every single day to make each other better. And, you know, all of us, I feel like we all treat practice reps like game reps. so that when it comes to the game, you know, it's really easy for us, you know. So credit to the coaching staff for just making our mindset like that, you know, wiring every player that comes in, you know, to not have that complacent mindset and to always continue to work no matter what.
All right, so with that in mind, finally, let me ask you this. You're going to face Syracuse on Saturday. They're having a tough year so far, so there's this expectation that it's going to be a blowout. I know you're not approaching it that way. What concerns you the most about Syracuse, and what is your message to your fellow wide receivers going into this game?
Yeah, they're tough. They're gritty. Every single time I've played them, you know, they're tough. They're hard-hitting. You know, they play very physical. You know, their assignment's down. You know, they have a great coach over there. You know, he does a great job in making sure they're where they need to do, where they need to be. And, you know, every single time they play us, it's always a tough matchup. So, you know, just telling the guys on the team that, you know, we just got to prepare. Like I just said, like it's the biggest game of the year. You know, we cannot sleep on anyone. We can't afford that because, you know, especially with a season like this, you know, you can't afford to have a slip up and lose a game because it can affect you way worse than it could in a normal year. So, you know, we just got to come every single week ready to play. You know, if we prepare the right way and go out there and execute the right way, you know, it's nobody that I feel like could be as except Clemson. Like Coach said, you know, we feel like nobody could be as but Clemson in ourselves.
He's already a national champion, also the ACC Receiver of the Week. Clemson 5-0, they're number one in both polls. And next up, they are hosting Syracuse on Saturday. Amari Rogers, my guest. Amari, appreciate that very much. Great job. Thank you very much. Good luck this weekend.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you, Amari. You know, when he said that, among other things, he watches other interviews to see how guys conduct themselves, I would imagine there's going to be a lot of other players watching his interviews. That's a pro right there. A young guy with a tremendous perspective. Clemson, 5-0 and top ranked, and they've got Syracuse coming up on Saturday. All right, it's time for your beefs. What is your beef? We do it once a week. Call with a beef, 1-800-636-8686. Tweet me your beef, at Jim Rome, R-O-M-E. Next hour, we'll talk some golf. Jason Kokrak, Tua, it's Tua time with the fish. I definitely want to talk about that, too. Episode 148 of the Jim Rome Podcast, pushing out later on today. Will Blackman will be my guest. I've got an ATP coming up. Wednesday's...
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Let's do some math. So I've got 9 segments a day, 5 days a week, 45 segments a week. This might be my favorite single segment every single week. The What's Your Beef segment. Listen, not all beef jerky is the same. Old Trapper is better. Better for you. Higher in essential protein than chips, sugar-filled energy bars, or candy. Ask for Old Trapper by name because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper or What's Your Beef?
We do it once a week. Is it the beef jerky segment?
It is the beef jerky segment. It is the beef segment. You can call and hit me with any beef whatsoever. A sports beef, a non-sports beef, a personal beef, a family beef, a social beef, any kind of beef. I'm here for it. And it's a big, fat segment. Hit me up. Just make sure you do it either by phone or by Twitter. 1-800-636-8686. Let's start with the tweets. Ponis Wagner tweets, and I quote, "My beef is with the uncircumcised Euros taking away the last half hour of your TV simulcast. Not so they can watch a match or show a match, but only to warm up soccer knobs for a highlight show."
Or Phil Jackson playing all of the uncircumcised Euros in his lineup at the same time.
Ponis, bad news, P. They're doing it again. It's going to happen during this show once again. So now you know. Ed Baller's tweets comes in with, quote, "My beef is with sketchy drive-through cashiers. When you drive up to the window, they hold your drinks hostage, close to their person, in a vice grip, until you hand over your credit card or cash. Then they ease their hold as if it will come out of their check if I dash." Johnny Scabs tweets, "My beef is when people ask you what time it is and still find it necessary to tap their wrist where a watch would be." It's pretty good, Scabs. Hey, yo, man, you got the time? You got the time? Terry Smith tweets, I'm trying really hard at this tweet thing, but I don't think I'm getting it. That's my beef, yo.
Yo.
Yo. Yo. Terry, you're making this thing much harder than it needs to be. CZA tweets, I got beef with Red Sox owner John Henry for being such an ass. Yeah, watching Mookie Betts, I've already hit on that. That can't be easy, Red Sox Nation. He's doing everything that he did for you and could still be doing for you, except he's doing it on the biggest stage for somebody else. And he's going to do it for a long, long, long time. 4-1, he's making it look easy. 415 guy tweets, I have a beef with Oscar Mayer making pumpkin spice bologna. Stick to the wieners and the mini corn dogs, losers. Yeah, pumpkin spice bologna does not sound very good. Why not just like pumpkin spice head cheese while you're at it? Garrett in Utah tweets, Jim, my beef is with speaking coherently. Signed, Slurome.
Intelligence quotient.
Carl in Prescott tweets, my beef is that not enough people caught a glimpse of my crank on Zoom. Signed, The Tubes. Carl, man, you're this close, dude. You know I'm on record with this. I don't block anybody, ever. I don't care what you tweet. I don't care what you say. I don't care what you do. I don't care about things I can't control. So I never block anybody. I just don't give a damn. Do what you want. With you, Carl, I'll make an exception. One more tubes crack out of you, Carl, and you're done for life. Why would I lie about that, Carl? One more reference of the tubes, Carl, and you're done. Why would I lie? Ryan Cheney tweets, my beef is that you have an EP of sports or of a sports show that does not watch sports and thinks that he can give you 60% when you aren't there. So normally somebody in my position might stick up for my EP, but here's the problem. He's not here and doesn't know sports and doesn't watch sports, so I really can't stick up for him. And he's on record as admitting that when I'm not here, he doesn't work as hard. So literally what that guy said is true. Papa Juliet tweets, I have a beef with Chouds. Period. End Period. Of beef.
Period.
The Chowderheads, he doesn't like them. Daniel tweets, Rome Slice, I have a beef with auto warranty services. These kooks keep calling every day, no matter how many times I press the option to be off their call list. Stop calling me, you buttholes.
Butthole.
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 Wooden Laconic tweets, my beef is with Garrett Ritt. Either not knowing that he was going to be on the radio last week or just doing absolutely zero show prep. Way to talk off the top of that bald head and say nothing for an entire segment.
Mm.
Oh, he knew.
Ambi.
He knew. That's
Bring
what
it
he
on.
Prepared. Matt in Dallas, quote, I got major effing beef with Dak's agent not getting more heat for not getting his guy paid. I got news for you, Matt. He's still going to get paid. And I'd even argue that he's still going to get close to what he wants. And if the Cowboys don't give it to him, somebody else will. This guy's still getting paid. Are you kidding me? You know how much money he made on Monday doing nothing? Geoff is in. Quote, I got beef with chatting with an acquaintance at the grocery store, saying goodbye, and then awkwardly crossing paths with them throughout the store. Unwore that forced second convo where I have to say something funny like, long time no see. What? Are you following me? Doesn't want any of that, Geoff?
Awkward.
Sean Parsons tweets, my beef is with my sister for buying organic boxed mac and cheese. Hey, Jen, you're squeezing cheese paste out of a sack that looks like it was constructed from a space blanket. Who the hell cares if the shells are organic? All right, that's the social portion of the beef segment. 1-800-636-8686. Hit me up with your calls. Let's go to Laughlin. Laura, it's good to have you. Laura, what's your beef? Go ahead, Laura, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm sorry. My beef is with Dak and Dalton. Dak is a selfish little rich boy who didn't accept Jerry Jones's pay. He said he couldn't live on that. He wants to go higher in pay. And then Dalton had a really bad line in the Bengals and still has a bad line with the Cowboys. What's up? And then Mark McCarthy, what's up? What's up with my Cowboys? I am a hopeful but realistic fan.
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like what's up with you? Never mind what's up with Mark McCarthy or what's up with Dalton. And what did she just call Dak a rich little boy? I know you didn't do that, Laura. At least not intentionally. At least you better not have. And Dak did not say, I can't live on this amount of money. Find me, document that quote. Show me where Dak said, quote, I can't live on that money. Because I guarantee he never said that. Dak's trying to get fair market value like anybody in his position would do. Dak was betting on himself like a lot of other people in his position would do.
Mark McCarthy.
Mark McCarthy.
Mark McCarthy.
Yeah, what is up with Mark McCarthy?
Mark McCarthy.
Ask his players, and they would tell you that Mark does not know how to adjust on the fly, does not know how to teach, and is not good at his job.
Mark McCarthy.
And Mark McCarthy was the one who brought in Mitchell Noland.
Mark McCarthy.
And he's not getting it done either. Hey, Ritt, I know that you're helping out here and you're double tasking, but that was the best call of the beefs. Did you not say to me, take them in order? They're, quote, in order of goodness. That's what you said to me.
Bring it on.
And if they were, quote, in order of goodness, you're telling me that's the best one? Come on, Ritt. Do better. 1-800-636-8686. All right, so she drops off. This guy takes her place. Let's find out. We go to Little Rock. John in Little Rock. What's going on, John? What's your beef?
You got it. You want beef? I got beef. You want beef? I got beef. Yeah, you want beef.
You don't like that car. I don't like that car. Not a very good car.
I got beef. First of all, I mean, the degree of difficulty is there. I give him credit for that. He had a what's your beef rap. I have beef with Leff and Laguna because he still has smelly tuna. That's your rap. You're 0 for 2, Ritt. 1-800-636-8686. Social media beef is always better than caller beef. It's not too late. The segment continues. I'm looking for your call-in beefs. I don't know that we've ever done that. I mean, a beef is a beef. Like, if you have a beef, who am I to question your beef? I'm not sure we've ever run a caller during the beef segment, and we've run two in a row today. I don't think we've ever run a caller during the beef segment because the point of the beef segment is to come in and beef, get something off your chest. But if you're going to beef about Mark McCarthy and smelly tuna, you're going to get your asses run.
Mark McCarthy.
Somebody pick me up. Somebody make it better. 1-800-636-8686. Let's try Houston. Kyle in Houston. Kyle, what's your beef?
Romy, I've got beef with my wife today. She has this really bad habit where she uses a dish, then she runs it under the water faster than a parody Larry call. Then she sticks it in the dishwasher where all the food attached to it just dries and gets crustier than a Mike and Indy take. Hey, Rocket, you have to at least take a sponge to your dish. It's a dishwasher, not a dish scrubber. War stay-at-home dads, war the lifeguard that will need to save Matt in L.A. from drowning in his own tears when Dodgers fail again. Outro.
Kyle, are you in fact a stay-at-home dad? Then why are you crushing your wife for not doing the dishes properly? Do them yourself. He said it's a dishwasher, not a dish scrubber. This guy's beef is his wife's dishwashing technique. Man, I hope this segment never ends. 1-800-636-8686. Let's try Long Island. Pete, it's good to have you, Pete. What's your beef? Go ahead, Pete, you're on the air.
Hey, Ron, thanks a lot for taking the call. First time, long time. Been a clone since the 90s.
Nice. Appreciate it.
So my beef is with the Giants. Everything you've been saying about them all year is right on target. I've been a fan since I was 8 years old, and this team has never been run worse than it's ever been in its whole time. I mean, everybody complained about Coughlin, but at least he had them winning games, and he had everybody playing hard. This guy, I mean, I think they should put Garrett in as the head coach, and they got to get rid of this turnover machine. I mean, why couldn't we draft like this guy LA Chargers? I mean, we could have had that guy. I mean, I don't get it. I mean, and we don't have an offensive line. I mean, ever since Coughlin's been gone, we haven't had an offensive line. How do you expect Barkley to run anywhere?
That's part of that. Hey, thank you very much, Pete. I appreciate it. I feel your pain. And you're right. I've been saying all these things. And almost all of what you just said is true. 1-800-636-8686. We are running out of time. I don't know, man. Rit, you may have been right. She might have been better than the others.
Mark McCarthy.
Mark McCarthy. Dallas Cowboys head coach Mark McCarthy already under fire.
Mark McCarthy.
There's your What's Your Beef segment. She did not make the show better, Rit. Damn, Rit, you think you make the show better. All right, so we'll come back with hour number three. Jason Kokrak is a PGA Tour pro. I definitely want to hit on Tua and whether or not Miami is making the right call in putting him in against the Rams. That's coming up next.